is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Sherry Preston. ABC News projects Donald Trump will once again become president of the United States.
I will fight for you, for your family, and your future. Every single day I will be fighting for you, and with every breath in my body. I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve.
Trump before his supporters in West Palm Beach, Florida overnight declaring victory. One of the keys to his winning, the big swing states of Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. As for Kamala Harris, ABC's Mary Bruce has been covering her campaign.
I can only imagine what is going through her head as she has to switch gears and go from writing what I imagine she had hoped was a victory speech to now coming out and somehow, you know, thanking her supporters, trying to offer perhaps some kind of explanation as to how we got here.
This is ABC News. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani ordered to appear in court later this week after being accused of hiding much of the property in a New York apartment that was supposed to go toward paying millions for defaming election workers in the last election. Stress in the workplace, taking its toll on our hearts.
Even people without any known heart disease can see a negative impact on their heart health in a stressful workplace. A study in the Journal of the American Heart Association looked at body mass index, diet, cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood glucose levels. It found that men and women between 45 and 84 who have not experienced heart issues will nevertheless have up to a 27% less favorable health profile when they're subjected to consistent work-related stress. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Police at Penn State are investigating an incident involving former NFL star Jason Kelce and a man over the weekend. Videos show Kelce smashing the man's phone after the man made a crude comment about Kelce's brother. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. During the politics season, while I do listen to all the words that folks say, I prefer to crunch the numbers behind all their fancy speeches. And the number I'm thinking about today is $7.5 trillion. That is a moderate estimate by the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget of what conservatives' plans will add to the national debt. This includes continuing tax cuts for the wealthiest people and lowering the tax rate for some corporations, and it is a lot of money. And, you know, money's going to have to come from somewhere. We can't afford anything that might create cuts to Social Security or Medicare. Seniors who've paid into Social Security are counting on that money for retirement. I don't want us risking Social Security by adding $7.5 trillion to the national debt. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers trade Preston Smith. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Preston Smith has been a reliable linebacker on the Packers defense since Matt LaFleur took over as the head coach, but the team traded Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 7th-round pick. The Steelers will also take over his contract, saving the Packers over $17 million next season. GM Brian Gutekunst met with the media.
Thanks to Preston Smith. You know, 2019, that was a, you know, we signed 4 guys, and for him to be, you know, here still 5.5 years later and play a lot of good football for us and won a lot of games, and I wish him nothing but the best moving forward.
NBA, the Bucks are back in Milwaukee tomorrow night to host the Utah Jazz. Both teams off to poor starts, each with a win-loss record of 1-6. The Badgers men's basketball team hosting Montana State tomorrow night. Wisconsin with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross. Forward Nolan Winters on all the new players on this year's roster.
With JTX, we're learning and, you know, practicing every day, open gyms in the summer. That helped a lot.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little patchy fog in a few spots this morning, otherwise mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 50s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, a little more patchy fog possible, our low in the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, we are back live Wednesday night with Madison-based comedian and writer Mike Mercury. After that, Civic Media's own sports director Jimmy Cuska joins the show for a discussion about athletics.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that would be us. With the one question. Hang on, we have a standard intro that we do here over at Up North News Radio. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, November 6, 2024. Normally I say it's a beautiful day here up north, but I'm not up north. I'm in Madison here with all of our other friends across the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Albaugh with me as well. And as far as whether it's a beautiful day, that's up for debate, because about 90 minutes ago, former President Donald Trump has been declared to be future President Donald Trump. He will be the 47th president of the United States, and Wisconsin was the tipping point. A late night counting of votes, results from Racine County came in, and it did two things. It gave Tammy Baldwin probably enough votes to hold on and win another term, though in the minority, because Republicans took the Senate, and that Racine ballot results outcome put Donald Trump over the top, and that's where we find ourselves, and we're going to focus on one question this morning, along with giving you all the results. What's next? Todd Albaugh, good morning. What's next?
As someone once said, don't look at me. Good morning, everybody. Pat, it is it's good to be with you. I'll say that much.
Well, we were here till midnight, and then at that point, we knew it was going to be something that was going to go well into the night. And like I said, it was only 90 minutes ago. And there are still some votes that are out there yet to be reported. There are still some races yet to be called. We'll try to hit as many of them as we can over the next couple of hours here. But again, fair to say, it was great to be here with you as well to take in and try to make sense of what happened. And we were looking for like little isolated answers, and it's not. It's a nationwide answer. This entire country shifted to the right, and far more so than almost anybody outside of the Trump campaign and inner Republican circles would have imagined.
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. Not to be too flip, but I guess, you know, the title behind this, Wisconsin Decides, nailed that, as it
nailed
turned
it.
Out. As it turned out, it was, in fact, Wisconsin. And Erie, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, it was 2016 when, again, Wisconsin was the state when it was called that put Donald Trump over the top and into the White House the first time. Look, I think you're right. I don't think it is just a one regional or a problem, or I shouldn't say problem, but a situation. Mm-hmm. Based on the results across the country, and as you said, it appears that U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat from Wisconsin, has won re-election.
Yeah, a squeaker.
We'll see about that, but it looks like she has. But overall, there has been a seismic shift in the electorate last night in this country. And we can dissect it all morning. We can take calls. People, our pundits, will look back at this. But somebody missed something somewhere, because I think a lot of the polling that was done, a lot of what we were hearing from people, at the end of the day, whether that was people, certain segments that decided not to show up, certain segments that decided to vote for someone else, that margin, or maybe it was just that, again, something was missed, and obviously the majority, 50% plus one, overall last night said, no, we don't like the way that this country is going. I think the question perhaps that people are going to ponder for a while here is, what does this mean? What did they vote for then? Mm-hmm. Was this voting in favor of perceived differences of economic policy? Or in fact, and I hate to speculate this, was this looking at someone at the top of the ticket and said, I'm voting in favor to give myself permission to reestablish or the things that I actually believe in, which is what Donald Trump believes in, which I hope that's not the case, because that would mean that American democracy has taken a shift.
It would be very easy to say, well, this was just, you know, white people. This was just men. This was Gen X. No, across the line, nearly every group except college-educated suburban women, except for that group, Trump made inroads, and therefore Republicans made inroads with just about every group. The most telling one for me when I first started this shift a little bit ago was a moment on one of the networks when they called up a national map to show all the counties in the nation and in which ones had Kamala Harris outperformed Joe Biden from 4 years ago. The map was blank. Not a single county did Kamala Harris outperform Joe Biden from 4 years ago. So what you had, in my view, was people who 8 years ago did not want to tell pollsters they were supporting Donald Trump. The polling got it wrong. 4 years ago, they got it wrong as well, but Biden still had enough votes to win. And again, this time, polling again, Trump overperformed what the polling was. And so there were all kinds of folks who just very quietly, for reasons I'm sure we'll talk about for some time to come, said, I want to go back to this guy and or this direction and or these values. And there's, again, there's not any one of them. For some folks, it was, you know, DEI and wokeness. And for some people, it was about immigration. For other people, it was about the economy. It's just that they all came together for Donald Trump in a way that I certainly wasn't expecting, given the energy, the crowds, the enthusiasm. But again, that's all signal, you know, or I'm sorry, that's all noise ahead of the signal. The signal was the votes.
Yeah, 100%, Pat. And again, I think the question that I was sitting pondering, you know, laying awake until 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning was, I guess I, in my position, you know, on our show, me as a person that has a privilege to sit behind the mic every day, you know, do I need to listen more? Do I, you know, the outcome is done. Donald Trump is going to be the president of the United States once again. Moving forward, and one of my, I was talking to a friend last night, very early this morning, and I thought that this person said it well. We, in our jobs as radio hosts, or I'll speak on the civic media side, we can't just be in the communities. We have to be involved in the communities. And maybe we missed something. Maybe we were talking at people and not listening to it enough to pick up what was happening in these communities, to your point, of what they weren't telling us in polling, but they actually felt.
You know what? I'm going to come at this from a different standpoint. I'm going to take the position instead that more engagement needs to be done by Civic Media, by Up North News, by every other entity that went out there. And by the way, bolstered public confidence in the elections. You don't hear anybody on the Democratic side saying, oh, there must have been fraud, there must have been cheating. No, public confidence was there because of those groups that got involved. Some people will say, yeah, Democrats and progressives need to move a little closer to the public opinion needle. And while I totally agree that there's room for listening, I think job one should always be move the needle. Talk to the public, get the public to understand the importance of, you know, immigration reform, of making investments in people, not just tax cuts for the rich. So I don't think there needs to be a lot of abandonment of values. I think we're just getting started at Up North News and Courier Newsroom and Civic Media with conversations like these, with programs like these that will hopefully move that needle in the future. Once people see what the second Trump administration has been like, what this split well, we don't know yet if it's split control of Congress, but it looks like it might be. We have to see what lies ahead. So I guess to do that, we should turn our attention to some of these other races that have been going on. And let's you want to start with, I think you had the Senate results in front of you here, the most recent ones.
Absolutely, Pat. And again, a bit of good news if you're on the Democratic side this morning. You're waking up to find out that along with those most recent ballots that were counted and reported in the Milwaukee Southeast County area, that means with 98.6% of the vote cast in the U.S. Senate race, incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin has not officially been declared, but is looking like she will be the winner. 49.3% of the vote to Eric Hovde, the Republican, the business challenger, 48.6%. It's 1,658,000 to 1,632,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so, you know, it's with a smattering of another 65,000-70,000 votes for the third party candidates of Phil Anderson or Thomas Leaguer there.
So at the moment, Hovde trailing by about 26,000 votes, that kind of a nail biter. In the third congressional district, it looks like Derek Van Orden will go back to Washington for a second term. Again, with nearly all of the votes reported, Van Orden at 51.4% to Rebecca Cook's 48.6, a difference of almost exactly 11,000 votes, 211,000 votes to 200,000 votes. Again, Cook performing well in Eau Claire County, La Crosse County, and Portage County. But across the rest of that still gerrymandered district, the congressional lines didn't change from last time around. You saw an overperformance by Derek Van Orden, winning things like Dunn County by 10 points and Pierce County by 15 points, Chippewa County by 5 points. Looks like in Juneau was the biggest margin, 23 points, along with Pepin County. So, again, much of rural Wisconsin, you know, reverting to form. Let's talk about the 8th District really quick, and then we'll talk about legislative races in our next segment here. Because in the 8th District, obviously, we were following our friend Dr. Kristen Lierley, who ran, much like Kamala Harris, ran as good a campaign as you could possibly put together. But the district is what it is, and people looked at it and said they would just as soon go with the Trump-endorsed candidate.
The 8th Congressional District, as Pat was talking about, with 99% of the vote in now, it is Republican Tony Weed. Of course, this was an open seat. Mike Gallagher chose not to run, the Republican. Tony Weed is the winner with 57.3% of the vote to Dr. Kristen Lierley, the Democratic nominee, 42.7%. As you said, Pat, again, Dr. Lierley ran. I spent some time up in that district. My dad's stepmom live in Shawnee County, which is just to the kind of northwest of Green Bay. And Dr. Lierley was everywhere in that district. And if you look at Shawnee County, which is a deep purple red, I'll call it, Tony Weed wins with 66.7% to Dr. Lierley's 33.3%. In Brown County, it was Weed 53.1% to Lierley's 46.9%. In Outagamie County, it was Weed 54.6% to 44.4% for Lierley. Two places that Dr. Lierley did win was the Menominee County. Dr. Lierley gets 79.8% to Weed's 20%. And then over in Door County, which has kind of been a bellwether in that district, or at least also in the state, Door County goes for Dr. Lierley 51.5% to Weed's 48.5%. Again, overall in the 8th Congressional District, Weed wins 57.3% to Lierley's 42.7%.
And in the 1st Congressional District, Brian Stile holds on to his seat, defeating Democrat Peter Barca by a 54-44 margin. Let's pause here. We'll unpack some more of the news on Up North News Radio. Others will rejoin programming across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlow. This is Todd Alba. Have a great day.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
and it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Oh, if only it was the Lake Wissota studio, but tomorrow we'll be back up on the lake and spending some time just staring out at the lake and saying, now what? And that's what we're going to talk about here. You know, what's next with another Donald Trump presidency? Looking like, again, perhaps split control of Congress. We know that Republicans have recaptured the U.S. Senate. Still too close to call in the U.S. House. So, you know, again, that raises questions of leadership and, you know, whether there will be any kind of a unified legislative agenda from Republicans, for example. Contrast that with the state legislature, where you had new maps, again, thanks to everybody turning out for the state Supreme Court election in 2023, and you have more competitive districts. So in case people are like, wait, a lot of Democrats won legislative races. Why didn't they win congressional and the White House and everything? Different maps, and all those maps did was it didn't give Democrats an advantage. It just returned Wisconsin to where it should have been, a more representative distribution of Democrats and Republicans in the state legislature.
Yeah, and I think that was something that Tony Evers said when he put forward these maps. Quite frankly, many Democrats said, look, I mean, we have people like Senator Kelder Royce from the Madison area here that came on our show and said, look, we're not asking or want maps that are completely tilted the other way in unfairness. We just want a fair chance. And, you know, I think there were some victories. I mean, up in the Eau Claire area, Christian Phelps gets a win last night. He is a young person who is worked his rear end off, connected with voters. And that's an important point, that there were Democratic victories last night.
There were. Representative Jody Emerson up in the Eau Claire area retained the 91st Senate District seat. I'm seeing a note here from J.R. Ross at WisPolitics that Jesse Rodriguez has held on in Assembly District 21 over David Marsteller. But check out this margin, 10,482 to 10,464.
Wow.
That's 18 votes.
Yeah.
Out of almost 21,000 casts. So I believe we're in recount territory on that one.
I'd say that's fair.
Throughout the Assembly and the Senate, we're looking at races where you saw some Democratic gains in the 8th State Senate District, which we talked about this last night. When I set the record in 2006 for most expensive state Senate race, it was about $200,000 or $0.2 million. This 8th District race, $10.2 million into this race, and it looks like that's a Democratic pickup with Jody Haber-Sinikin unseating incumbent Republican Dewey Strobel. Sinikin getting 50.8% of the vote. Dewey Strobel in a district that, again, when, once you move the lines, it was no longer so solidly red. It was more of the Milwaukee suburbs that he had to contest for. And Jody Habersynekin, who was born and raised in the district, was able to pull off that victory.
Yeah, and again, these are areas where I think it's going to be important for particularly the Wisconsin Democratic Party moving forward. You ask what's next earlier, Pat, like my mouth moving here at 6:24 in the morning. I think maybe looking at the campaigns for state assembly, state senate, and Mark Buchanan here in Madison was reelected. Those areas where Democrats did do well, is it different than areas where they didn't? And how can you adapt that and run campaigns that where Democrats have won?
I think what you ended up getting was because you had more competitive races, mm-hmm. And because legislatures can move a little bit faster than Congress, which is mired in gridlock. You might have legislators this time here in Madison who are more amenable to working together. Now, we just don't know yet what Republicans are going to do with continued control of both the Assembly and the Senate. We don't know if Robin Voss is going to be elected Speaker. Recall that he said he needed probably a majority with 55 or 56 Republicans. At the moment, it looks like it's going to be around 54. So will Robin Voss be rewarded and then continue to obstruct Governor Evers and Democrats at every turn? Or will Republicans move in some kind of a different direction? Back to state Senate results, Joan Baldwin has also been unseated. That Republican lost in Senate District 14 to Sarah Kieske. Sarah Kieske getting 51.1% of the vote there. In District 18, Democrat Kristen Alfheim has a lead right now of 52% to 47% over Anthony Phillips. So that looks like a Democratic victory in that particular seat. It was not as close as people had hoped for in the Marathon County area, where Patrick Teston, the incumbent Republican, holds on to that seat with 58% of the vote to Colin McNamara's 41% of the vote. A pickup in the 30th Senate District in the Green Bay area, which we thought might be a harbinger of good things for Kristen Lierley and for Vice President Harris, but it was not to be. Democrat Jamie Wall does win the 30th Senate District seat over Jim Rafter, with Wall getting 52% of the vote. And then go over to La Crosse and Brad Paff, holding on to his seat after a tough challenge by Republican Stacy Klein. Brad Paff has been elected by roughly a 52-48 margin.
Yeah, that's interesting. Again, the third congressional district there, as you said, it was, Klein put up a tough fight there against Brad Paff, but again, someone who, by all accounts, is in touch with his district and is out there doing constituent service. And of course, he ran for Congress 2 years ago, came up just short against Derek Van Orden, who, of course, got reelected as the results came in early this morning as well. But Brad Paff, and I think the Jamie Wall seat up in the 30, correct me, Pat, if I'm wrong, but is that the redrawn old Rob Cole seat where he decided not to run for re-election?
Yeah, there were something like four state senators all living within a stone's throw of each other, and they broke it all up, and none of the incumbents chose to run in that district. So in essence, it wasn't an open seat.
Yeah, and again, I think that's a great area in the Fox Valley, which has been kind of purple-ish. And again, Jamie Wald running a great campaign, connecting the voters.
Oh, look at this.
What do you got?
Back to Western Wisconsin in the 28th Senate District.
Never disappoints.
I get to clarify something here. A former state assembly rep is going back to the state assembly. Rob Krybek has been elected to District 28, defeating Danielle Johnson by a 2-1 margin, 66-33. Rob Krybek was a dark-haired news anchor at Channel 13 before going into the legislature, and then he was unseated in 2006. Then along came Pat Kreitlow, a dark-haired guy who was an anchor at Channel 13. Both last names begin with K-R-E-I. Can't tell you how many times I've been called Rob, and Rob Krybek has been called Pat. So now with him back in the legislature again, it's Krybek and Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the legislature, Pat.
Yeah, no, not me. More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Well, the election may be over, but the markets are expected to be choppy all week long. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, explains there's an information overload that's going to hit traders this week. Details on that just around the corner.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says it's not just about trying to digest the implications of the election. This week, there's also a meeting of the Federal Reserve to discuss interest rates. And on Friday of this week, another big USDA report hits the trade.
Biggest question for in the marketplace is going to be, what do they do with the demand, which has been very, very strong? Do they keep it quiet just because everybody feels this market's kind of been front-loaded because of the election in terms of that demand? Or they do they make some moves now, and which typically the USDA has a tendency to be on the wait-and-see mentality, especially this early in the marketing year.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. That international demand and interest in our commodities was still holding strong yesterday through Election Day. In overnight electronic trade, though, things have changed. Numbers are next.
Looking for a trusted partner to help you with your auction needs? Look no further than Steffes Group, a nationally recognized leader in the auction business. With over 60 years of experience, our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service to provide you with the best auction experience possible. From farm, construction, and transportation equipment to real estate, we have the expertise and resources to ensure your auction is a success. Visit steffesgroup.com to learn more about our full list of services and to find a sales representative near you.
So yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese went down 3 to 183. 40-pound block cheese dropped 4 to 179. Double A butter on Tuesday, unchanged, 267.5 per pound. In overnight electronic trade this morning, right now we've got December corn down a penny at 417. January soybeans are down 14 cents at 988. December wheat down 8 at 565, with July new crop down 7 at $6 even. Currently, the December Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a dime at 1909 a hundredweight. January of new 2025 down a nickel, currently at 1924 a hundredweight. There's your market update. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A little patchy fog in a few spots this morning, otherwise mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 50s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, a little more patchy fog possible, our low in the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Current temperature 44.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabe, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. No, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Thank you.
This is for you, buddy.
Well, it's for everybody, actually. Who doesn't need a little Maureen McGovern?
Right.
After this. The problem is that we actually have a reverse situation here. We're hearing the song now about a morning after, and yet we've all woken up, and the ship is upside down. the tidal wave has hit, and calamity ensues with folks who might just be waking up saying, say what now? It was now 2 hours ago, 2 hours and 2 minutes to be exact, that the final numbers from Wisconsin came in enough to put Donald Trump over the top. Wisconsin, as in 2016, gives Donald Trump the White House. But those late votes were also enough for Tammy Baldwin to hold off Eric Hovde. I was watching that call as it came in with, of course, Steve Kornacki with his tacky pants and everything. You've been up. Were you watching that, or how did you
news? I was on CNN. Okay. Flip back over there. Our friend Craig Gilbert, longtime great reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, still writes for them occasionally. He had this observation, the historian that he is. He says, if Baldwin's lead holds in Wisconsin, we expect it will, this will be the first time since 1968 that Wisconsin voted for one party for president and a different party for Senate on the same ballot. 1968.
This is what he does so well is he, and I cannot wait to see the breakdowns by geography, by race. Where was their undervoting? Where people filled in one race, but they didn't fill in another. They definitely voted on things like school referendums and on a constitutional referendum, and you're going to have details on that in just a moment. But let me go through some of the other assembly races that we didn't hit in the last segment, races that are still close, and I've got a half a dozen of them here, and I'm going to go in numerical order by district here. In the 53rd Assembly District, Republican Dean Coffert holds a very narrow lead over Dwayne Schakowsky, basically 50.5% to 49.5%, a one-point margin, and a margin of just over 300 votes in that particular district. We'll go down to the 61st Assembly District now, where Luann Byrd was challenging incumbent Republican Bob Donovan. Bob Donovan has won that race with 51.5% of the vote to Luann Byrd's 48.5% of the vote. I wanted to single out the 73rd Assembly District way up north because, again, to talk about what's different with these maps that are not as gerrymandered as they were for the past dozen years or so. In that area up north around Superior, Ashland, Bayfield, in those three counties, they had they're basically a region of their own, kind of like the Chippewa Valley, kind of like the Cooley region. But under the gerrymandered maps, they were broken up. And that way, instead of a Democratic legislator for many years in that heavily Democratic region, it was broken up in a way that there was no Democratic representation in the legislature. Under the new maps, things were made right, and Angela Stroud will take over as the assembly representative in that 73rd district with 58% of the vote. We're down to District 85 now. Again, that's in the Wausau area, where there had been a lot of hope for Yi Leng Zhang to challenge incumbent Republican Pat Snyder. Snyder prevails here with just about 53% of the vote. There's a very close race to watch in the 88th Assembly District, where Christy Welch, the Democrat, trails the Republican Ben Franklin. No, not that Ben Franklin, with Franklin at 50.3% of the vote, and a difference of, math is tough at this hour, about 250 votes. And then finally, in the 94th Assembly District, Steve Doyle appears to have fended off a challenge in a rematch with Republican Ryan Hipsch. And again, Steve Doyle ahead with 50.3% of the vote, a margin of 217 votes out of 36,000 that were cast, which I think, again, it's these legislative races that are truly emblematic of where the state is. I mean, you've got the state results, sure, for Trump. But when you look at where people live, you know, where they've decided to put themselves, you see these regions much more fairly now under the new maps. But
you know, back from a statewide standpoint, there was a constitutional referendum on the ballot, one that was, you know, basically ridiculous, unnecessary, and ultimately is going to be harmful, perhaps. But with all the other races involved, there really wasn't any kind of a coordinated message campaign against it.
You're right, Pat. And again, this was asking people, the citizens of Wisconsin, to vote on whether or not to require citizenship in Wisconsin in order to cast a ballot. You've talked about it on your show. We've talked about it on civic media programs, including mine as well. It's kind of a moot point because in Wisconsin, you cannot vote for federal and state elections unless you're a citizen. That's already law.
That's already law.
All right, so it was a bit redundant. But what this could do now that it has been approved by voters is it could, let's say that now that Donald Trump is going to be in the White House, some of this Project 2025 presumably will move forward. It could go back and qualify what it means to be a citizen. Trump has talked about revoking birthright citizenship. In other words, if two people or if a person's parents are from a different country and they come here, they have a child, that child is an American citizen or someone who came here legally or undocumented and acquired their citizenship through naturalization. There's been talk about Trump may try to, and MAGA Republicans try to repeal that. So what that means in Wisconsin is now that this has been changed by the voters of Wisconsin, what I just said could, keyword could, move forward. Let's get to the results here in the state of Wisconsin on this question requiring citizenship to vote. The yes votes outnumbered the no's. It wasn't even close. Yes, 70.5 to the no's, 29.5%. Looking at the statewide map, Pat, the only county out of 72 in Wisconsin, the only place that this passed, or pardon, was
the only place where it was shot down.
Dane County. But let's go to our very own news reporter from the WGBW studios in Green Bay here for Civic Media. Lisa Hale has a report.
I think we're going to have to.
She had a report.
She had a report.
She may stop back a little while here. Yeah. But let me get to the actual statistics for Dane County. Again, the no's won in on this referendum of whether or not to require citizenship in Dane County, where Madison is at, of course. 54% for the no's and 45.6% for the yeses. So it was still, you know, relatively close, I guess you might say. Even in Dane County, but the other 71 counties, Pat, across the state of Wisconsin were yes votes. And I know Civic Media has talked about this at length. I know that Up North News Radio and Courier has talked about this as well. But perhaps in the legacy medias, I don't know other places, it just wasn't talked about. Or, again, as we talked about at the top of your show here today, could it be that voters just said, yeah, this is something that is important to us?
Well, it's very important or very easy to put something out there and say, hey, should citizens vote? And again, if you don't know the details, people will be like, oh, yeah, that sounds about right. You know, like Trygve Olson told us last night, the problem with Democratic or progressive messaging is that once it goes beyond three sentences, you know, you lose folks. And you're trying to explain to people that, well, it's not really necessary, but by making this change, it's going to be easier for people to have their citizenship challenged and potentially be dropped from the rolls. We just saw that last week in the state of Virginia. And by this referendum passing, this constitutional amendment passing, that could be the case. Yeah. All right, let's see again if we've got access to that Lisa Hale report on the constitutional amendment.
Yeah. Hey guys, it's Greg. Me literally 30 seconds to load it up. I'll get you there.
That's fine.
Well, that's fine.
Maybe that's a good point, Pat. I mentioned this earlier. For those just tuning in this morning, because not everybody stayed up until the wee hours of the morning like you and I did, and they're just hearing this news about Trump and other people, Donald Trump, of course, winning. And this is going to be devastating to a lot of people. And they're saying, how can Todd and Pat be so chipper and kind of jovial, you know, at this hour of the morning? I don't know about you. I'll speak for myself. I ran for assembly twice. I lost twice. I was involved in a lot of campaigns where I wasn't the candidate. And you win some and you lose some. I happen to personally think this is
different. This is extraordinary, the consequences of this election. But I think to a certain degree, maybe after you've been through some of these races, you wake up and you realize, you know what? Hey, we're still Americans. We're still Wisconsinites. We have to push on here. And we can't just be, you know, doom and gloom all day morning.
It's not chipper. In fact, I have the perfect way to illustrate it. Would you grab that coffee mug over there, Todd?
Yes, there you go.
Would you, no, would you just hold it in such a way? Hold it. Look at the camera over here. We're going to create a meme where he's going to be sitting there and there's going to be fire blazing all around him. Just look at the camera and say, this is fine.
This is fine.
There you go. See? We're not chipper. We're just making memes.
Calm of the storm.
That's right. Again, the morning after. All right. Let's give a listen to Lisa Hale with that report on the constitutional amendment ballot.
Wisconsin voters approved a constitutional amendment that will keep foreign nationals from voting in the state. Republicans across the country have been pushing constitutional amendments designed to prohibit non-citizens from voting in local elections. Currently, the amendment reads, every U.S. citizen who is 18 or older can vote. The amendment revises that language to read, only U.S. citizens can vote in elections held in Wisconsin.
That again, Lisa Hale reporting on that constitutional referendum measure. And then there were the other referendums that were out there, well over 100 of them from school districts. Let's give a listen first to Jimmy Koska telling us more about the school referendums, and then we'll talk about the conditions that led to that on the other side.
Sorry, guys. I was not in the chat with all these. Still loading this stuff. So
that's okay. It's all good. It's
live
all
radio.
Good.
Ain't nothing like it, buddy. No, that's all right. Don't you worry about a thing. So let me take a moment here then to talk about the little hiccup, I guess you could call it, that happened in Milwaukee yesterday. And frankly, the admirable and bipartisan way that it was handled. The absentee ballots are run through these machines called tabulators, and they were working fine. They were audited just fine. Everything was going well. About 31,000 ballots had been run through them when sometime in the early afternoon, reportedly, a poll observer an observer noticed that there were these little panels, little doors on each machine that they were pretty sure were supposed to be closed and locked. And sure enough, they were supposed to be. Somebody missed a step and didn't close and lock those doors that have the power switch in them. So they stopped the process. They closed and locked all those doors, and they started all over. And they ran those 30,000 ballots through. Republican and Democratic folks looked at it. Senator Ron Johnson came down, looked at it, and said everybody followed the plan, did what they were supposed to do. They knew that there was no, you know, say, shenanigans because, again, it had the power switch, and they were running these things. If there had been an issue, the machines would have stopped running. So, again, you've got to tip your cap to the folks there that, again, when there's a mistake, you catch it, you fix it.
I think it's a really important point to make, again, Pat, that Wisconsin voters can have confidence in the election system here, that you know, that's safe and secure. I do find it a bit ironic, or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, that because things turned out the way that Republicans had hoped, at least on a national scale, you know, nobody's crying about, you know, rigged elections this morning, from the MAGA side. And, I'm glad for that. But I think also, to your point earlier, Democrats aren't either. And Wisconsinites can feel safe and secure that their votes counted. It was done properly. And kudos to the good folks in Milwaukee for in a bipartisan way doing what they did.
Yep. Greg, if you're there and if you've got the Jimmy Koska audio, and I don't know if we've got enough time in the minute left before the break here to give that a play. If you've got any guidance on that, you can let me know. If not,
we can do it.
Okay, let's give a listen to Jimmy Koska on all the school referendums.
All across Wisconsin, school referendum questions were on the ballot, with over one quarter of districts asking to go over their local tax levies. Over one quarter of districts asked a total of 138 questions for a total of over $4.2 billion to pay for operations and facilities. The majority of these ballot measures passed, highlighted by Madison passing two questions for a total of $607 million. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Koska.
And the point that we've made previously is, again, $4.2
$1 billion was being asked for by school districts, not for new projects, just to keep the lights on, just to operate, because the legislature, under Republican rule, hasn't been holding up its end of the deal. So as you heard Jimmy say, in a majority of cases, the referendums were approved, certainly not in all of them, and some very tough decisions are going to have to be made. When we come back, we will talk, we'll check the mailbag. The text line has been busy at 855-75-CIVIC. We'll have some reaction next. You're up north.
Eagle 1490 AM.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
More cowbell, Pat. Gotta have more cowbell. Melissa Kay joins us as well for today's history lesson. If you're not a regular listener to Up North News Radio, at 6:50 every morning, we go through history notes from music and the wide world at large, celebrity birthdays as well. And every Wednesday, Melissa Kay joins us from WFHR and WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Hey, Melissa, how you doing? Oh, I can't hear you here. Hang on a second.
Coffee fumes.
There we go.
Still getting out. Good morning, Pat.
Hi. coffee fumes, I heard there.
Yes, coffee fumes. Coffee fumes.
And
how are you doing?
You know, we're doing. You know, we're asking ourselves what's next, and try not to spend as much time dwelling on what happened, and try to be, you know, forward thinking on this.
Next steps.
Yep. How were things there last night with Election Day and Election Night coverage?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of excitement early on, obviously, and as the night wound down, things were disappointed. I was with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Brittany Merlot and I were, we started in Green Bay at her watch party, and then we followed her to Appleton. She was disappointed, understandably so.
Yeah, obviously.
But she was very, very positive of, and her group around her, like, you know, this isn't going to bring her down. She's like, no, what's next? Let's keep going. We have to.
Well, that's what, but
we've got more work to do.
That's what she's always done, is she has patients to serve. She has women to serve. I talked to my wife very early this morning. And again, same thing. She's very concerned about what's going to happen with her patients. But you just have to continue to serve. There's no other way to look around that. So let's get back to today's history lesson here. Greg, you had the best reaction to our opening song by Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, a little bit on the nose there, buddy. A little bit on the nose.
Don't fear the Reaper. It was their biggest hit. It peaked on this day in 1976 at number 12. You know who else has a birthday today? We don't play a lot of his hits. He didn't chart on the Billboard Hot 100 very much.
Who's that?
John Philip Sousa.
Oh, he banger after banger.
I know, like this one. It's got a good beat. You can dance to it.
Ladies to the dance floor.
Sally Field is 78 years old today. Emma Stone is 36. Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live is 34 years old today. It was on this day in 2012 that Tammy Baldwin was first elected to the U.S. Senate, the first openly gay politician elected to the U.S. Senate. We're going to play a few more Eagles tunes as we go through the show today, because today would have been the 76th birthday of the late, great Glenn Frey. I think we need more of this.
100%.
Just need to take it easy here for remembering Glenn Frey. This is National Basketball Day because it is the anniversary of the birth of James Naismith, credited with inventing basketball. Some people have doubts
Craig's
about
got
that.
Some feels about that.
It's not. It's just like, hey, everybody, it's National Basketball Day.
The number one song this day in 1965 was by the Rolling Stones. Yeah. Hey, it's not just National Basketball Day, it's National Nachos Day.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. National Saxophone Day. Melissa, do you play instruments?
I had a saxophone for a while.
Oh, okay.
I tried to learn how to play. I can play a couple songs, but I gave it to my brother.
Okay, all right. Let's see. The number one song this day in 1976, product of Madison here, the Steve.